Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. The key to heaven. Imagine this. You know, Rick Joyner talks about in his one of his journals, he says he had a dream. In this dream, he says, you know, the Lord speaking to him, he says, I will show you the key to eternal joy. The key to eternal joy. And he was told that this experience was actually the result of using a particular key. I mean, think, would you like to have the key to eternal joy?
Yeah. Joyful all the time.
I mean, think about it. And just imagine living in just joy. Imagine Pat living in just joy, right?
What are you saying?
I'm just saying, imagine the Super Bowl, the Saints, and that little blip
in
history.
Always winning.
Always winning.
Football all the time.
All used to be all the time. And so imagine living in this place of, you know, just joyful, the joy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, it's like, and in this place is a place where God strengthens you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people just feel weak, you know, and they feel hopeless, or they, maybe that's you today, that you're just thinking like, man, if there's not a direction left in my life that has not yet been hit with something. I am weak. I'm weak physically. I'm weak emotionally. I'm weak mentally. I need to be strengthened. And I want to walk in this joy. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says that the joy of the Lord, chapter 8, verse 9 through 12, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And quite often, I think this is one of the first songs I ever heard when I became a believer, because I was in a college and I heard they wanted me to go meet with a whole bunch of Christians. You know, I wanted to meet with them too. But they had this club that you would go to. I was like, there's Christians out here? Yeah, I want to go see them, right? And they sang this song. And the lyrics of the song says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And something else, whatever. But they didn't seem too joyful. You know, it seemed really sad, like what was going on, you know? And then you hear other people that have maybe like an outgoing, sanguine personality that they talk about, you know, you got to liven up a little bit, because the joy of the Lord's your strength. If you want to be strong, you got to be happy and giddy and jiggly and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, puts a lot of pressure on someone else that doesn't have that kind of personality. And I can tell you, Rick Joyner doesn't have that personality that we're talking about. He has more of a melancholy personality. But it's not our joy that makes us strong. It's Jesus' joy. When we bring joy to Jesus, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So in other words, when he has joy, we have strength. So the question is, how do you bring Jesus joy? I mean, if you want this life, you want to be strong in your life, bring pleasure to Jesus. How do you bring pleasure to him? He says, listen, if you love me, obey me. And there's so many different ways that we could bring pleasure to him. I mean, think about abiding with him on a daily basis, just spending time with him, talking, listening, a relationship. God's called you into relationship with himself through his son. I mean, that's the whole point of it. I mean, one way that you can bring pleasure and joy to the heart of Jesus that will strengthen you is begin to abide with him. Begin to spend time with him. If you don't know how to do this, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. But understand that that's one way to do it. I mean, when you spend time with someone, that says you care about them, right?
Right.
And that he takes pleasure in that. It's one way to strengthen your life. But there's so many different ways. And not only when you're part of abiding with him is, okay, if he communicates to you and says, hey, this is what I want you to do, then you just do it.
Right.
Obedience. You know, it's like, can you imagine that, you know, like Francis Chan talks about, if he sends his daughter, says, I want you to go clean your room up. And she says, okay, I got it. And she comes, goes to her room. She comes back about a couple hours later. She says, you know, Dad, this is just joking around. Dad, I just want you to know that I heard what you said. You said clean the room up. And we're planning on a 6-week study on, you know, what does it mean to clean your room up?
We talked about it.
Right. We talked about it. We're talking about a 6-week study on it. And we're going to even look it up in the Greek. What is actually clean room up?
And memorize what you said.
Yeah, memorize what you said. And so you can see that her father probably would not be joyful. She's not bringing joy to her father. But a lot of people are surprised that talking and treating God that way. They're thinking, why am I so weak? It's like, we're not bringing joy to Jesus if that's how if that's how we're treating him. You know, we got to memorize in the Greek and the Hebrew. We got 15 classes going on, but we're not planning on doing anything he says. So one way is another way to bring joy to his heart and strength to our lives is to be obedient in what he says. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. One way to bring joy to the Lord's heart and strength to your life is obedience.
Wow.
Another way is, this is going to shock you, treat people well.
What?
You see Pat's face just drop. Oh, no. Oh,
Dang.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm just
going to
be weak for the rest of my life.
Great.
Wait, think about it.
So I've got a football game and then attention to people. Man.
Right.
That's a huge moment right there.
I love that. And
Criteria.
And so
I wasn't trying to argue.
You know, the one another's, you know, koinonia, being able to just spend time and listen to someone and participate in their life and care about them. Be kind to folks. I mean, he says, you know, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your own son. How much more does your heavenly father know how to give? And understand that if a parent sees their children authentically treating each other well, you know, with no ulterior motives, first of all, you know, they're very pleased, but it brings great joy to their parents. It's like great joy.
You think about how powerful that is in just the midst of just the coming and going and all the things that are happening in our culture and just our daily lives. And it's like you walk past somebody, you know, regardless of where you are in the office and, you know, when you're going shopping and you see that, you can see it on people's faces and you say, are you okay? Like, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
And imagine it's just like how that lightens them up and you're like, oh my goodness, you care about me? Like you
I exist.
Yeah.
And then shocked.
You actually take the time to listen.
Yeah, not only do you ask the question, but you stay for the answer.
Exactly. And it's like if you really think about that, getting context, it's just like the paradigm. Imagine how it affects their heart. How does that affect God's heart? It's huge.
Right. It's what he says. You know, the one another's can only be done with someone else. And then when we do that, this brings joy. What happens? It's like, oh my goodness, if I abide with the Lord, if I obey the Lord and I love people, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strengthened in my life. And what we want is, you know, we want, you know, Psalm 16:11, you know, we want this fullness of joy in our life. Well, in his presence is where fullness of joy comes from. But it's the joy of the Lord. It's imagine everything that you give to God comes back to you. But how many people just say, give to me, I do nothing. You know, and then they're depressed and they're sad and weak and all these different things. He said many people die early for wrongfully discerning the body of Christ. I mean, they fall asleep early. And it's like they totally missed the whole thing. God wanted us to love one another. The koinonia of, you know, coming together and you know, you put something on the table, they put something on the table, and this encounter. I mean, God loves that. That brings joy to God's heart. He says, listen, when brothers dwell together in unity, it's the place of the commanded blessing. For God just by boom, it's good and it's pleasing to the Lord, Psalms 133. He says in John 17:23 that that is the greatest witness that we can have as the church when we come together in Christ-centered unity. Somehow, supernaturally, just us doing that brings such joy to the Lord's heart. Something supernatural is manifested to the world that says God loves them just like he loves his son. Powerful. It's amazing, you know. Yeah. And it's like the joy of the Lord is my strength. And how many people have tried to, you know, I'm trying to have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm trying to be joyful to strengthen myself up, but I can't find anything to be joyful about versus living a life that brings joy to Jesus and trusting him to strengthen you in that abiding relationship and treating others. And what you find out is that you reap what you sow. When you're kind to others, they're kind to you. You'll find out that the same Jesus that's in you is in them. When you minister to them, you'll find out they'll be able to minister to you, and you'll both be mutually encouraged, as Paul said when he came to the church of Corinth, I believe. So I just want to encourage you today. If you're feeling weak emotionally, physically, spiritually, begin to say, you know what? I know what I need to do. I want to live a life that brings joy to the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I want to have the fullness of joy. I want to be in his presence. I want to begin just to look upon him. And I just want to be just focused on him and be a doer of what he says and see my life fundamentally transform. I'm going to live a life of joy. I'm going to spend my life focused on the Lord and his glory and watch the goodness and the joy of the Lord manifest in my life. More when we get back for the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issues, it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be.
He's a real loving father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Steve and Pat with me. Global, when you think about the global, right?
Yeah.
Global church, the universal church. And I know you're going to be talking about, but when you think about God's been telling one story since the moment he created us. He's a created man. And so often we can get caught up in thinking it's all about us. And we have a little small part to play in his theater and what he's doing.
Right.
And instead of just doing our part well and enjoying it, and it reminds me of what you're about to be talking about.
Yeah. Well, I think about it too, it's just like, you know, just like what you're saying is like, how do I live a joyful life? It's like so often we get caught up in like that battle that happens in front of us, or, you know, the fires at our feet, whether it's in our marriage and in the family, in the workplace, or, you know, in our own neighborhood. And it's like all that matters. And I think about, you know, a lot of the things that we've been sharing on VFN TV and the daily radio program. It's just like the victories that God is doing in the nation and across the globe. It's like we need that awareness of how the kingdom is advancing. You know, and what God's been showing me is like, I had a time when I was in the Marine Corps and I had to learn, you know, that frontal contact as far as when you're literally fighting a war.
Hand to hand.
Right. And if you think about it, the infantry is basically the riflemen. They're literally the front lines, the tip of the spear. And one of the things that they taught is that you had a specific field of fire. Like if we're in an ambush and we're engaging the enemy, you had your muzzle. And if you think about if you put a fist on either side of your muzzle, that was where you were focused on. And you were aware of just like, okay, if there was a friendly left or right, okay, you don't engage them. You focus on your enemy in front. And so often as believers in the kingdom, we can be moving where God calls us to move. And we can get so focused on that 6-inch battle in front of us of our, you know, sword of the spirit, wherever we're going against, and lose sight of, you know, we're pushing. We're pushing back the enemy. And many of the battles that's happened in history and in war, it's just like they took a city.
Right.
They, you know, they liberated a nation. But it was because you had those individual, you know, soldiers, wherever they were, that were faithful with what was in front of them. And it's just like a lot of times we can lose sight of, you know, we're the body of Christ. It's the ethnos. It's the nations all moving together in unity. And we need that encouragement.
Yes.
We need to see how, you know, God is advancing in the family mountain. God is advancing how we're talking about with Hobby Lobby and a business and kingdom wealth and sharing and you know, we're financing missions and languages are being, you know, whatever. But that makes sense when it's just like when we're focusing on the person in front of us.
Right.
And that's how we live that joyful life. And that's just what God's really been showing me, because without that global awareness of, you know, like I said, that analogy of a war and liberating a city, it makes sense when, okay, hey, I'm taking care of what's in front of me. Because to sometimes too, that's really all you can be faithful with. If you try to if you try to get too focused on that, it's gonna crush you.
Right.
But when you can be focused on what God is showing you and revealing to you, saying, hey, you know, this is what, you know, like we've talked about in football, hey, you know, this is your play.
Right.
I'm going to give you the football for these 30 seconds. Will you be faithful with those with that play? And it's powerful, like when you see it, and then when you get to back up and like, hey, I want to tell you what happened. Like this happened and this happened and this happened. And because you were faithful with that block, we just put 7 points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wow, I never thought about it that way.
Well, you think about it too. I used to always get frustrated early on and watching football because you always wanted to see somebody throw the long pass.
Mm.
Yeah, the big perfect pass, the big perfect pass.
The big play.
The big plays. We call it that. But then it took a long time after watching for a while to realize the best coaches that understood you win it 10 yards at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always want to, like, what are you doing kicking? What are you doing this? And it's like, just work your way down the field.
Yeah.
Right.
So the coach is kind of watching this whole field, watching the whole season. He's watching the whole teams that are playing. And he realizes that if we can just get 2 yards here, 4 yards there, in 6 yards, we're going to have a first down and we can do this thing all over again.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're just going like, you know, how does this have meaning and what's going on? God's going, your whole generation is going to get a first down, okay?
But it makes sense, you know, too, why you need to be listening, because a lot of times, too, there is not that godly context of hearing about those victories across the world. And, you know, as God is making them known, we're sharing them out and be like, hey, this is what's happening. Hey, this is what God is doing. Right. Like, check this out. This is what's happening here. This is a victory here. This
is why VFN TV is so important, to be able to hear the torch or those that are putting it out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like the best way that, you know, really I understand it is like when you think about the Marines or you think about any military unit, when they go through their specific mission, they come back. And then you have a commander that's sharing with them, hey, the whole battle space, hey, because, you know, this line advanced, this was able to be a victory. And it's like, and you see that and you're like, wow, it motivates you. It's that pep talk. It's that halftime, like, hey, we did this, we did this. Mm-hmm. And then you get that vision of just like, wow, my part matters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My light in the workplace matters. My light in the family matters. My light in the business matters. And you're like, look what God is doing.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
They even, once it's amazing because, like you're talking about, even though they have these big theater of war, they'll study that war for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
They'll learn for the next 50 years about what you're talking about. It'll continually reveal all kinds of things as they look at it. But it is encouraging to look at the bigger picture. And if you haven't yet gone to Multiply Movement and began this discipleship journey, I encourage you, go to VFNTV.com, go to the links, you can go to Multiply Movement there, or go to MultiplyMovement.com. And I think Francis Chan and David Platt do a real good job of painting the theater, the whole story of what God has done, is doing, and is going to do. And then you can begin to see, you know, like what you're talking about, Steve, you know, my role, what is my role? How do I fit in the context of the story of redemption that, you know, God's created us for fellowship and he wants to be in relationship with us. And from the moment, you know, the fall of man took place in the Garden of Eden, immediately he began a plan of redemption. I mean, immediately he began it and began to speak it out and what would happen. But then there's a whole journey of this. And it was amazing, you know, if Abraham didn't play his part, where would we be? If Isaac didn't play his part, where would we be?
Right.
You know, if Jacob didn't play his part, where would we be? If David didn't play his part, where would we be? You know what I'm saying? All these parts connect. So much so that you can go to, I believe, Matthew, and you can read the genealogy of everybody that played their part. You know, so-and-so played their part, and then they had a child. And so played their part, and then they had a child, and it just continued on to the whole lineage, till suddenly, you know, Mary gives birth to the Son of God, Father God, and Mary, the Spirit of God, and just the awesomeness. But it was like, how does this fit? I mean, can't imagine how Mary, you know, as a young 16-year-old girl, probably felt. You know, you're coming back home, and you're, you know, you're trying to tell your husband to be, like, you're not going to believe this. You know,
it was a difficult talk.
I mean, he had to get a vision, and what happened to him, you know, he was just going to go ahead and quietly, you know, divorce her, to separate from her, because that was the thing to do at the time. I mean, obviously that what she said happened didn't happen, because the only way you can get pregnant is this natural way. So, you know, this is talking about an angel showed up and hovered over you and you conceived this child. Which was true, but he had to. And so, what God did while he was sleeping, God gave him a bigger picture. God explained to him, Joseph,
Let me explain something.
Your wife to be is not a liar. That I am the father of this child, and you will name him Jesus. I mean, he gave him a bigger picture,
right?
And prior to that, it looked like things were going bad, but the reality is things were going God. I mean, things were going good. And when he got that picture, it was like, wow, that's, I could, okay. And he decided, okay, don't have relationships with her until she has this child, Jesus. But that's what he began to do, because he got a bigger picture. So here they are living their life. And then suddenly there's things going on. They might have missed it, but God told them again the bigger picture. When he came to Joseph in his sleep and told him, says, listen, there's a big picture going on right here. The king wants to kill Jesus. The king wants to kill my son, wants to kill your son. Mm-hmm. Why don't you get up and go to Egypt and stay there until I call you back? Mm-hmm. I mean, prior to that, I mean, how many times did we stay in a place because we're just focused on this is my job, this is what I do, you know, and start not realizing God may be calling you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to listen up. And if Jesus had to change his geographical location because Satan had a plan to kill them, I mean, who are we?
That's right.
It's okay to move.
It's okay to move. And but, you know, that was God giving Joseph a bigger picture of what was going on in the political arena and in the
mm-hmm.
king arena and what was really in the heart. And that caused him to make a geographical bigger move than where he lived. He ended up going all the way to Egypt. And again and again, you know, you think about the bigger picture when you have Esau and Jacob, and there seemed to be this squabble going on in their life. But the truth is the bigger picture is that God is going to choose for himself a people, you know, and he's not going to be Jacob forever. One day he's going to be Israel, mm-hmm. you know, getting a bigger picture. And now when you're looking at Israel today, I know we're coming to the end, but when you look at Israel today, you could say, okay, that's the full thing. But there is a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger picture is that our God, who sent his son to die for us and who paid the price for our sin, if we make him the Lord of our life, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is with the Father now, but he's going to come back, and he's going to be ruling and reigning for 1,000 years
mm-hmm.
in Jerusalem. So this all this stuff, just this week, they're talking about keeping status quo in Jerusalem, and you know, you have everybody wanting to take that land, the temple land. I got news for you. That's where Jesus is going to have his kingdom. That's where he's going to have his throne, I mean, and he is going to rule and reign from there. The bigger picture is God wants to redeem mankind. God wants to is going to redeem the kingdoms of this world.
Mm-hmm.
God is a good God. He's a restorer. And if you'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's got a big picture out there, and he'll unfold it little by little. But it begins with you saying yes to Jesus, yes to his kingdom, and saying, Lord, I'm ready to enter in and become your disciple. Find out more at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that, because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now.
Mm-hmm.
And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the studio is Pat and Steve.
Am I? Okay.
Yeah, you're
here. We do love you, Pat. You're here with us, man.
I'm excited.
All right, I'm glad. Listen, you know, the holidays are coming. I know many people. It's Christmas time. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And it's such a wonderful time of the year. I love Thanksgiving, our opportunity to give thanks really to the Lord for all that he's blessed us with. And just kind of rolls into Christmas. I mean, I love those two holidays back to back like that. But, you know, there is a new movie out, Kirk Cameron. In fact, it'll be out November the 14th, and it's called Saving Christmas. And it's so important to keep the Christ in Christmas. And it's not Happy Holiday. It's not Xmas, never. It's Christmas. And we want to encourage you not to be discouraged or even to get caught up in what typically, you know, tries to get a lot of people messed up, the hustle and bustle and make it about other stuff. Make it about enjoying the birth of Jesus Christ and enjoying the wonderful blessing of family and friends that we have to walk this life out. I mean, that's really what it's all about. You know, a pause, a time to remember, you know, the most important person in our entire life is Jesus, and to remember his birth, and to share that with the people that we love the most.
Yeah.
And looking forward to a new year of a fruitful ministry and service to him. But I want you to watch this movie, as Kirk Cameron has a way of putting these movies together and helping us to laugh with some really good, clean humor. Watch this.
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked?
Hey, where's Christian? How's he doing? Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine, really. He's just not into Christmas this year, that's all.
By all the commercialism and those who want to replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings, whatever that means.
You okay? This is not what Christmas is all about.
Some want to pull down every manger scene and tell us why our favorite Christmas traditions are wrong.
Newsflash, not in the Bible. That's a pagan idol symbol.
It was the winter solstice. Jesus was not born in December.
It's exactly what the Druids did.
It's like a carjacking, but like of our religion. And guess what? Santa got in the car, kicked Jesus out, and was like, rolling, 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 and took it.
Isn't it time somebody spoke up? Everything you see inside there, it's all about Christmas. It's all about Jesus. I know you love Christmas and you want it to be all about what it's all about. This Christmas, dive headfirst into all of the joy, the dancing, the celebration, the feasting, the imagination, and traditions that glorify the true reason for the season.
Ooh, work, Holy Spirit. Ha! Can I get an amen? I see. Yeah. The scales are falling off. Glory! Ah! Glory!
Join me and my family, and together, let's put Christ back into Christmas.
There you have it. Saving Christmas. Christ back into Christmas. In theaters, November the 14th, check your local listings. It is Chris, I know you want to know, available on the Gulf Coast. So make sure you make your arrangements if that's what you want to go see. But, you know, it's a good thing. You know, it's the holiday. You know, I love this time of the year. And I'm really looking forward to what matters most. And however way your family celebrates it, I like to say that, you know, Christmas is when we're just talking about the Lord and remembering what he has done and doing something for somebody else. And this stuff is just, we're just opening up gifts and just having a good time and just enjoying each other, you know. Don't make it about, you know, the amount and all these other stuff. Make it about being able to be a blessing and bless others. I know, Steve, that you want to share with us about the power of unity and disunity. Talk to us about that and what the Lord's been showing you.
Well, man, I've been, you know, just spending time in, you know, I was just spending time in Proverbs earlier, and a lot of times, too, is just like we can kind of skip over a lot of things and not really just take in consideration, you know, what God's saying. And, you know, it's so powerful because we can skip over something and just kind of breeze over it. And I was actually reading Proverbs 6, and I actually just lost my page here. And
get your page.
There you go. Got my page. In Proverbs 6, it says, you know, there's six things the Lord hates. Seven that are actually detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And you kind of look at that, and so many people are just like, when you think about haughty or hateful, you know, lying tongue, obviously, you don't want somebody that's just going to lie to you, or, you know, wicked schemes. It's just like, no, you know, we have to, I don't want to be wicked. Feet that are rush or quick to rush into evil. Or someone that is pouring out lies, you're like, man, that's pretty bad. But when you look at it, how it says the fact that seven are detestable to him, and the last one, how it says, a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. And what stands out to me is just like when I read of that and I look at that, I think about Psalms 133, and it says how good and pleasing it is when brothers come together in unity. And we've talked about before the power of love. There's a significance of, you know, it's our greatest witness when we can come together with others and be in unity and be focused on Jesus. And the opposite of that is just like, if what we're saying, if what we're doing is causing dissension in the family, is causing dissension among others, God looks at that and he considers it worse than someone that's just as far as having haughty eyes, lying. God hates these things, but being something that's detestable to God is to bring dissension. And you think about that, and it's just like, well, that wasn't my intentions. It's just like, that's not what I'm doing. It's just like, you know, if you think about it, you can always look as far as the effects of what somebody's doing. You think about a boat, and you can always tell the type of boat, you know, by turning around and looking behind it, and you look at its wake. And you can tell if it's turning, you can tell if it's a big boat, you can tell, you know, you can tell a lot about a boat by looking at its history, looking at where it was. And you think about a consideration, it's like you look at the conversations that we're having. What is it like being on the other side of us? What is it like being in relationship with us? Talk to those around you, and it's just like, are we bringing people together, or are we causing division? You know, there's one thing, you know, Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, truth divides. But what I am saying is the fact of just like, is what we're doing, is it causing just so much strife and contentment and just anxiety and just, you know, it's like the tornado just walked in the room. Or are we walking in love? We're walking in peace. We're walking in that gentleness that we're just, you know, we're walking with Jesus, trying to be love and speaking truth with others, yes, but at the same time, too, we're not causing division. And what is so powerful, too, is like you think about it and how it says the fact that stirring up dissension or stirs up dissension among brothers. And I think that is so powerful, too. It's just like right now, it's just like I look at how often I would look at Christmas season and Thanksgiving season, and I would just get a knot. Because so many, it's like their biggest, it's just like the one time that they don't look forward to the most is Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, but if you knew my brothers, yeah, okay, well, yeah, but this guy's going to be here or this person. And it's just like, that is not how God desires family to come together. God does not want to be like, don't feel obligated. We're like, well, I'm going to go spend time with Uncle Dissension this week. And it's just like, no. God wants us to be unified in the body, obviously in the family of God. And it's just like we can look at that. You know, we've talked about it many times before, and it's just like the organizers of the night, the organizers of the day, the children of the day, children of the night, and it's just like, what are we doing? What are we strategizing? Are we just following God, or is there like motives underneath what we're saying? And it's just like, it matters what our intentions are. We want to be able to be sons and daughters of God because he says, you know, we're going to walk together in unity. How good and pleasing it is when brothers walk together, when we can encourage one another, when we can love one another, when we can lift them up and just say, man, I've been praying for you. I know you're going through that hard time. I just want to say, I know I'm lifting you up. You know, if there's anything I can do for you, I want to help you out. And it's just like, make that point and realize, you know what, God, if there's something in me that, you know, I know that wasn't my quote unquote intentions, but I can tell you what you did may not have been what you intended, but you still did it.
Mm.
And that's a huge reality, because when we got to come to that realization, it's just like, we got to be able to just sow unity and bring love to one another.
That's so good, because, you know, when you're talking about that, I think about Ahab, who's a storm carrier.
Mm.
You know, Ahab comes in and just stirs stuff up, mm-hmm. and it's not gender specific, because, you know, but a lot of times, you know, it could be a male
mm-hmm.
that comes in and just stirs the situation, and then all of a sudden it's done with, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But you listed several things, and their dissension being one of them. But that's one of the biggest things, you know. God says keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep the unity of the spirit if individuals are not even unified themselves with God. They're not unified with themselves. It's like you can't unify with someone who's not even united with themselves. Uh-huh. They're constantly living in a state of confusion,
mm-hmm.
constantly living two sides. They're not even united with God. And so when they come collectively with somebody else, then you're going to have that, you know, tension, mm-hmm. if you will. But, you know, in the dividing of the family, that's not something that God loves, appreciates. And like you said, it's, you know, it's an abomination. And it helps to put in perspective, you know, what it is that God wants from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it is that God wants us. When you look at a family of believers, it's so important to that family of believers, that church that is gathering, to be united for the right reasons. You know, many people unite, but what are you uniting about?
Yeah.
You know, and who is it for? Some people unite because they think they're going to get something out of it.
Right.
Some people unite because they think they're going to get their needs met.
Mm.
Some people unite because they think this is a good idea, but we need to unite because it's a God idea.
Yeah, motives matter.
Absolutely. And when God is at the center of it and everyone's uniting for his purposes, then things begin to, you know, they'll all pan out at the end.
Yeah, too, and that's a huge thing. It's like when you think about it, because a lot of times dissension might not be a word that's in our everyday vocabulary or something that we talk about, but it's just like, think about division. You know, dissension means strong disagreement, a contention or a quarrel. You know, I think about, I can't remember specifically, but Proverbs talks about the fact of just like, you know, just take the log off of the fire. It doesn't add to the fire. Don't continue to push into the quarrel. And it's just like, being right is not always the point of it. If you're having an argument, just be like, hey, you know, we can step back and let's just try to work this out. And it's just like, are we being being that wedge? Are we the one causing division, or are we the ones bringing others together in unity?
That's so good. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about that, the power of unity versus the power of division.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I got.
the $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
So, you know, that, Donna, she, you can buy gummy bear type vitamins now. And I thought, well, what's the big deal? But truly, now that I'm actually taking a multivitamin gummy bear, and I'm not a gummy bear person.
Wow.
I thought I'd actually take my vitamins, you know, take it. So
in
then
a,
I saw
a
this
gummy bear format.
It's just a, you know, it looks like a little mountain thing or something. I don't know what it is. It could be an, I didn't have my glasses on. And so then I saw this commercial. It's like, they even have fiber, you know, it's for Pat. Fiber and gummy bears, right? I thought, gummy bear fiber? I mean, this is like the baby boom thing going on, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, Donna, get some of that. Oh, my goodness. I'm already doing vitamins. I'll even take fiber.
Oh, wow.
With something like that. And so when she got it, I was like, as a child protector top on top of gummy bears, you know, fiber, I thought, how ridiculous. You'd have a child protector top.
Those regulations again.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. So it said, take two of them. It said, take two of them. And this was my first day of being able to take them, and it just happened to be on a Sunday. And I thought, dude, these are so small, and they taste so good. I think I'm going to take four.
Oh, no.
I'll take four gummy bears. They're gummy bears. They're gummy bears. So I, you know, opened the child protector top, and I put the four gummy bears, and I just chewed them up, had a great time, put the child protector top back on. And then I went and spoke. And it was amazing how gummy bears can make a grown man almost cry. So I do want to say it does miraculously work. You're only supposed to take two.
Oh.
And I do understand why they have a child protector top on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. That was an amazing, amazing baby boomer moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And Steve, talk to us about the expectations of God.
Yes.
I mean, enlighten us. What type of expectations does he have?
Well, a lot of times we can put our expectations on God and think about a situation that might come up a little bit differently. You might be aware of, you know, a certain situation about a guy named John the Baptist. And you just want to set the stage for you. You might not be aware of it, but he's a guy that, you know, lived his life in the desert and, you know, grew up on locusts and honey. Mm-hmm. But he kept talking about this guy that he said that he was not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. And he's talking about Jesus. And he said, there's this one that's coming. He's going to be coming. He's coming. So if you can imagine, I mean, really, a lot of times, too, we can read the Bible and not connect with these realities. I want you to just place yourself in the crowd. Like, you're out there, you're listening to John, and he's baptizing people. And he keeps talking about this one that's coming. So one day, you know, John's out, sun rises up, and out of the crowd, this guy steps out. And John the Baptist says, this is the guy I was talking about. And he sees the Holy Spirit come down like a dove on Jesus after he baptizes Jesus. And you can imagine, I mean, just picture the expectation, the anticipation, the electricity in the crowd. You're like, this is the guy you've been talking about. Mm-hmm. I pictured him taller, but man, what is he going to do? What does he do? He leaves. He says, the Bible says, you read about this in Luke 4, but it says, he's led by the Holy Spirit and he goes into the desert. for 40 days. And I can imagine that the people in this crowd, you're like, John, that's it? I mean, this is the guy? He comes and he leaves? Jesus is in the desert for 40 days. Stay with me now. He comes back and he goes to a town called Galilee. And he's in the congregation. He's in the fellowship. He's in the gathering. And when you read about it in Luke 4, it says the fact that news about him spread through the whole countryside. Imagine the people that are talking, the people that, you know, they heard secondary through what John the Baptist said. This guy came, he stepped out of the crowd, but then he left. It's like, is he coming back? Is he coming back? I don't know. The anticipation, the expectations are growing, right? So Jesus comes, he sits down, and they call him up. And he starts reading from a specific book in the Bible, and it talks about that he's reading in the book of Isaiah. And he's saying that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he's coming to preach the good news to the poor. And he goes back, and he sits down. And in verse 20 it says, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Nobody is speaking. Nobody is talking. And Jesus, this is the first thing he says. And he's talking about quoting a Proverbs, and he says, you know, no prophet is accepted in his hometown, but he says, in verse 25, he says, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was famine throughout the land. And he says, Elijah was not sent to any one of them. He says he was sent to a widow. But he says there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. He says not one of them was cleansed, only a specific Syrian. And of all the things that Jesus could have said, he called people out. He just spoke truth. I would venture to say this was not on anyone's radar. This is not what anyone had expected. But in one message, the people that were fixated on him, the people that were spreading the news all throughout the countryside, after one message, you continue through this journey, and it says that all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. And you continue reading, and it talks about how they gathered together and they were about to throw him off of a cliff, and Jesus just walked through the crowd. And I look at that journey, I look at that picture, I look at that whole reality of what had happened when Jesus steps onto the scene, beginning his ministry, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but not once was that the expectation of the people. And so often it's just like we're going through a situation and we say, okay, we expect God to move this way, or we expect God to do this, or we picture it a different way. And I want to encourage you is that God's on his own timing. God's going to do something in your life if you allow him to do it that doesn't meet your expectations. It doesn't meet my expectations. But that's the difference of him being Lord. If he's Lord over your life, he's going to do something that you don't expect. He's going to step out of the crowd and step into your life if you allow him to and just say, God, I want you to just do something mighty in my life. We'll give him full reign. Because he wants to do something so mighty that it's outside your expectations. It's outside your abilities or outside your anticipations. But that's when he does great things. That's when he encounters people that says, I'll follow you, even beyond my own expectations, even beyond my own abilities. And I look at that, and to me it's just like Jesus even knew how the people would respond. And he just still moved and walked with his Father. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that's the life. Don't live your life based off of other people's expectations of you. When you just simply walk with Jesus, when you just say, God, I just, regardless of who's with me, regardless of who's against me, I'm just going to walk with you, even if they want to throw me off of a cliff.
And that's the issue that a lot of people face with expectations, is that at the root of that is pride. Because they're expecting a certain behavior out of God, they're expecting a certain behavior out of others, and they're greatly disappointed when other people and with God,
when God doesn't show up in the manner and the form in which they expected, they conceived in their own mind how he should show up and how he should act and what he should do. Mm-hmm. And at the root of that is pride, mm-hmm. because you're trying to put on God what is filtering through your mind,
mm-hmm.
to your utter shock and amazement. I was just expecting, well, that was the first problem,
mm-hmm.
was the expectation.
Right.
The first problem was the projection of what God should and could do and would do, instead of maybe positioning ourselves in a humble place and saying, God, this is the state I find myself in, or this is the state we find ourselves in. I pray that your will come to pass. Whatever direction you want to go in, whatever you say, you know, I will follow. My prayers that you would just reveal that to me, that you would show that to us, so that we can be in step with whatever it is that you want to do. And I think that oftentimes that's what messes a lot of people up. The people that were disappointed and they never affected Jesus during that time, mm-hmm. were the people that expected him to do certain things,
right.
and to perform certain things and to you know, show up on the spot for them, mm-hmm. as if waving a wand. And God doesn't, you know, bow down like that.
Yeah.
he mm-hmm. doesn't cower down like that. God has his own agenda. He has this amazing idea that it's about him.
I
agree. And the greatest way, you know, a good way for you to get past all of that is to drop the expectation of God and to drop the expectation of others. You will live a much more enjoyable life when you just come into a place of humility and say, Lord, it is what it is. And since I don't have an agenda, since I don't have, you know, something to turn my way or a different way, my position is to follow you. I just want ears to hear and a heart that obeys your direction and your calling.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Here we are. Yes, VFN-TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure
that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompt.